My Radio Riva. The Brighton Festival's now. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival with Melissa Dennett and Rebecca Sandals. On Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com. I'm Melissa Dennett. This is Monday's Brighton Festival special. We are here Monday to Friday during the festival, 5 to 6pm, repeated 10pm, then 9am the next day.
And I'm Rebecca Sandals, and right through the festival, we're looking behind the scenes, meeting some of the performers, creators and people who make it happen. Today, we're meeting a musical chameleon appearing at Brighton Dome on Monday.
We'll be visiting a venue hosting two of the festival's most groundbreaking events.
And looking ahead to an event which uses humour to challenge notions of disability.
And an awful lot more here in the next hour here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. A great weekend there, Rebecca, in the festival.
It was a busy one, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
A shame about the weather on Saturday.
A few showers, yeah. I didn't listen to my own advice because you weren't around on Friday, but on the show that Mark Johnson kindly co-hosted with me, I gave some advice to go to the early performance of On Edge, the parkour piece. And obviously I went for the afternoon performance.
Right, and which, rain stopped playing,
yes,
did it? Right,
yes, okay. But it did happen earlier, and the weather was lovely down there. Some great crowds of people down there as well.
Good, without walls.
On the seafront.
Good. So let's take a look back first then at Without Walls on Saturday. That was the event taking place on the beachfront near the I-360.
Yeah, it included dance, free running, circus, physical theatre and storytelling, all combined around themes of immigration and cultural identity. Now, our reporter Josh was there catching some of the performances in between those showers.
Hi, it's Josh on Radio Reverb, and I'm down at the I-360 Without Walls. Hi, so I've just watched The Tide by the Talawa Theatre Company. What did you think of it?
I really enjoyed it. I hadn't read anything about it before I came. I came along and just sat down to see what it was. At first, I don't think I really understood what was happening. There was a few quite stereotypical things about immigration, I thought, and then it got really, really interesting. I thought the music was great. I thought their physicality was brilliant, the way they worked together, really lovely dancing. I just thought it was really interesting. It was good.
And it evolved, didn't it?
Yeah, amazing. As it went on, I think it became clearer and clearer that it was about the struggle of immigration, about your identity, about being black in Britain, possibly something about Brexit in there as well. I think there was a real mixture of things. And yeah, I thought the actors were fantastic. They engaged the audience really well.
Thank you very much. So what did you think of The Tide?
I think it was good, and it was good for all ages, and even if like some children didn't understand what it was, they'd enjoy the dancing and stuff.
I'm here with Ryan, who's from Tide. How did it go then, Ryan?
Oh, really, really well. It was our first show, so a couple of things that we're going to go over and that, but it was really brilliant, really great crowd.
I thought it was really good.
Thank you. The idea, for us, it was about immigration, but immigration that is very unique to British immigration, especially now with the whole Windrush crisis and all of that. We were like, okay, we want to create something that's really poignant, that shows the journey and what it's like for an immigrant today in Britain.
And it came across really well, I thought. So I've just watched On Edge. It's about slavery in the construction industry around the world. Great story, great dancing, amazing movement and acrobatics. What I felt from it was how isolated they must feel in this situation, but also the friendship and support that they get from the other workers. We must find it very difficult in those situations. What did you think of it?
I thought it was great. I thought it was unexpected, and also I thought the guys had great skills. And it was very, it was brilliant. Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so did I. Thank you. So I've just seen Scalps. I'm on Radio Reverb. What did you think of the performance?
I thought it was amazing. They were real, fantastic individual performers that worked really well as an ensemble, and they touched upon so many different aspects of cultural identity, gender, kind of masculinity, femininity, real kind of range of movements, kind of from some quite hard-hitting, edgy cultural stuff, really testing, questioning things, as well as kind of really playful, entertaining. It's kind of deep, it's really deep and light and playful as well at times. I like that range.
I think all of the performances, everyone's I've seen, has been like that, hasn't it? It's very edgy, all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nice, kind of got that kind of real edge to it, not just kind of glitzy, la la la. It's like actually real, raw. Yeah.
That was our reporter Josh Sharples. He was down at Without Walls, taking place on the beachfront on Saturday. And I did interview last week the creator of Scout, which sounded absolutely fascinating, a dance piece around attitudes towards black women's hair. And you actually managed to pop down to some of the Without Walls in between the showers as well, Rebecca.
Yeah, I did. And I saw a bit of Scalped, the show that you're mentioning there, and fabulous hair on display as they sort of stood on a construction, something. It was a platform that I would say was about 3 metres off the ground, yeah, at the top, with massive afro hair that one of the women had there. It was fabulous.
Brilliant.
The crowd around, so what happens, tends to happen, is people are sort of wandering along the seafront, and either they've gone there as an appointment, they know they're heading to the I-360 for a show, or people wandering along going, what is happening here? And there was 4 different shows, so when one finished, the crowd sort of moved slowly, like a kind of like a puddle dripping along. They sort of moved along, went, hang on, there's something happening up there now. So moved along to the next show. It sort of went from one to the other to the next. It was great.
Brilliant. Well, there's loads more free events coming up in the Brighton Festival. Looking forward to Our Place, which is taking place this weekend in East Brighton at Manor Gym. Then Saturday next week, it's on at Hangleton. We will be talking to some of the Our Place guests over the course of this week leading up to that. Not forgetting Distorted Constellations, which is a video installation which is running for the last week at Lighthouse. That runs through to this Sunday, the 19th of May, which you've both been to see, which is stunningly good. It's based around the artist Mwando Ezibie's visual snow. So it's a kind of visual effect that she has, where she sees kind of blobs and splodges in her visual kind of field of vision. And she's created an installation with some choreography. It's got projections. It's got audio within it. It's a fascinating kind of all-encompassing, all-around you experience taking place at Lighthouse. That's a freebie.
It's good.
Yes,
my summary. And it's like walking into a club, and then it's not walking into a club, but there's really loud music. The visuals is fantastic. And I think Wanda, the artist there, has done a great job with that. And then there's a separate room where you can chill, which has a completely different ambiance. And it's just really interesting how she explores how we feel and how we see and how different people with different...
Different visual perceptions.
Yeah.
Just highlighting really how we all see things in completely different ways. So that runs through till Sunday. It's open again on Wednesday, closed Monday and Tuesday. Taking place at Lighthouse in Kensington Street, runs from 12 till 7. Iron Men runs through to the end of the festival, Sunday the 26th of May. Haven't been to see that yet. Our reporter Josh did go and see that. It's a photography exhibition of iron workers in Bamako in Mali. That's at the Phoenix Gallery. Again, that is open from Wednesday through to Sunday. So come Wednesday, I will be popping down to Iron Men to see that. Let us rewind the clock to today, Monday. This is Monday's Brighton Festival show with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals. And appearing tonight at Brighton Dome, we're going to be hearing from Gonzalez in a bit. I got on the blower to him from his home in Germany. A great chat with him. Really, really lovely interviewee. It was a joy, actually. First of all, supporting Gonzalez. He didn't know anything about her. He came across her. He loved her so much, he had to have her on tour. I hadn't heard of her before. Wrap your ears around this. This is Sarah McCoy appearing tonight, Monday, at Brighton Dome, and Beautiful Stranger. Yeah, we're getting all smoky jazz here in the studio. That is Sarah McCoy, Beautiful Stranger. I'd never heard of her before. She's supporting Gonzalez tonight at the Dome, if you are listening to the live show. If you're not listening to the live show, you'll have missed her. What do you reckon, Rebecca? What's the verdict?
Play it again, please.
We've got things to do.
It's really nice.
It is nice. It's great.
It's better than nice. I've opened a bottle of red wine and I want more now.
Yeah, put those Gauloises away in the studio, please. So we were saying while that's on, we hope it's not one of those gigs where people think, oh, I can't be bothered to go and see the support act. But now having heard her, I think he will head on down. So let's talk a little bit more about Chilly Gonzalez then. He's a Canadian performer. He's a bit of a musical chameleon. And he's taken in trip-hop, rap, electronica, classical, jazz. He's collaborated with Peaches, Daft Punk, Jarvis Cocker and more. And Chilly Gonzalez also works with young up-and-coming musicians with his Gonservatory. And so tonight, Monday, he's bringing his piano music to Brighton Dome, supported by Sarah there. I spoke to Chilly on the phone at his home in Germany to ask him about that musical skittishness.
Well, my name is Chilly Gonzalez, and as you can probably guess, that's not my birth name. I'm an entertainer,
And that's why I've chosen a name that I feel is entertaining. And I'm a pianist, but there's a big asterisk next to that pianist description. So I like to give a full entertainment experience. And that involves, of course, all the usual weapons, whether it's humor, melancholy of the music itself, some virtuosity, and most of all, I like to include people in my show, and specifically talking about music. So in a way, many people have said I'm the music professor that they wished they would have had when they were younger.
That's nice.
I like to let people in on how musicians think and how we approach things, and you know, how music, whether you're a pianist or a rapper or a electronic musician, in the end it is just music, and there's more, perhaps more in common than we'd like to admit. So that's I guess sort of my manifesto, and the show goes from a whisper to a scream, and I haven't played in Brighton very often, so I'm really excited.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you touched on it there, because it's fair to say you're a bit of a musical chameleon, because in your musical career, you've taken in trip-hop, rap, electronica, classical jazz. I mean, is this really the sign of a restless mind, or is it a way of keeping things fresh, or is it a bit of both?
Well, I suppose that the common link between all of those will always be the piano for me. You hear piano in all of those styles of music, and I believe the piano has endured precisely because it's so versatile, and you know, this giant beast of a piece of furniture has persisted despite all of the technological advances. It's still there. You walk into any studio and you'll see keyboards. You know, it's the prism through which we see music. So, like I said, I'm a musical humanist. I don't really believe in musical borders. I think it's important to show that we can transcend them. You know, I even have a music school called the Conservatory, in which I sort of bring people from each of those musical styles together and force them to kind of compose together and find that common ground. And that's sort of what I do when I find myself in front of my audience, is how do I find the common ground between these essentially random group of people who find themselves all sitting in front of me? How can I build a bridge to them musically? And I think especially in the classical and jazz world, that's become a bit of a no-go. You know, we're supposed to be very serious. There's all these rules about how you can't clap in between movements. And I definitely privilege fun. I believe you should leave the concert with a giant smile plastered on your face. And that's what I intend to do.
Too far gone. Unrecognizable. Frightened of the message light on the phone, on the bedside table. Where is Gilligan's Island? Where do germs come from? Don't open the curtains. I'm allergic to sun. Room 29.
You are known for your collaborations. I mean, you've worked with people like Peaches, Daft Punk, Jarvis Cocker, and you even teamed up with a French chef to create food and accompanying music. I guess working with different people like that is a great opportunity to bounce around ideas, no matter how ludicrous they might sound on paper.
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, I'm very interested, for example, in athletes. I actually wrote an opera about the tennis player John McEnroe some years ago. I'm interested in art forms that don't really seem maybe like they're art forms to most people, like sports, the making of food. I believe these are all creative pursuits, and so definitely worthy of trying to combine with music.
How much does your location feed into your work? I mean, you're Canadian, but you variously lived in Berlin, Cologne, Paris. Do you find that your music shifts subtly in terms of the response to where you're living?
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, everything from what you ate for breakfast to the people that are in your life will influence your music. But I think perhaps there's something about being a Canadian that makes us extra special. We travel well. There's a certain inferiority complex, I think, that Canadians have that makes them think, well, all the other cultures surely are better than ours. And so we travel well. We're good at adapting. So I think just being Canadian, having that sort of detachment and that sense of humor that we're known for, you know, we're kind of caught in between you guys as our former colonial master and the Americans, which is our loud, boorish big brother. And we're sort of caught between. And I think our strategy has been to just sort of self-deprecate and adapt. And so the musical chameleon could, if you just change a couple of letters, I'm a musical Canadian.
Chilly, you've won a whole stack of awards, including a Grammy. How important are awards to you, or are they just something nice to put on the mantelpiece?
Well, that's a tough one, because the Grammy came from my collaboration with Daft Punk. And so that, I suppose the Grammy is just a reminder of the prize I won by being asked to work with them in the first place. And it's a sign of their generosity that I'm included in their list of artists that meant that I got that Grammy. But I suppose if it were for my own work, if I were to win prizes for what I really truly believe I am born to do, which is to entertain, you know, if there was a Grammy for giving the kind of concert I give, then that would probably mean more to me. And of course, it's nice to feel like you exist in the real world of institutions like the Grammys, or for example, my Guinness World Record for the longest solo concert. I did play a 27-hour concert about 10 years ago. And the idea of touching on something like the Guinness World Record book, which I perused as a child and thought, who are these crazy freaks? And then to become one of those crazy freaks myself, it's a nice moment. You know, I did watch the Grammys as a kid, and to think that I have one currently that I'm currently staring at on the, you know, on the shelf of my bathroom. That's a wonderful thing.
Let's come on to your gig in Brighton then. So you're appearing in Brighton with Sarah McCoy. Tell us a bit about her. She's got an amazing blues voice.
Yes, yeah, I think she's sort of following in the tradition of many of these sort of like, you can't believe the voice is coming out of that person singers, like Amy Winehouse and Adele and people like that she often gets compared to. And I sort of discovered her playing a gig in Paris, and I couldn't tell how old she was or how long she'd been doing it. I didn't know if she was like an unknown legend or if she was somehow an icon that I just hadn't heard about. I was so curious to know what was behind her very strong sound, but also her very strong look. And we got along famously right away. She's a total goofball. She's from New Orleans, but she sort of reminded me of a lot of easygoing musician Canadians that I came up with. And so we worked on her album together, which just came out, I think, a few months ago, called Blood Siren. And now, of course, I take her on the road whenever I can, so people can sort of replicate that experience I had, where my jaw just hit the floor from the first second.
Your visit to Brighton is part of a massive international tour. Do you enjoy touring, or is it a bit of a necessary evil?
No, I would say recording is a necessary evil to continue touring. I am a born entertainer. I'm not a studio musician. I'm not someone who says, oh, I just like to turn on my machines and sit in my bedroom and make music. I need people in front of me. That's always how it was with my family. They were my first audience. You know, how I find my place in society is through entertaining people and making them feel good with music. And that's why I started my music school, the Conservatory, to pass that on, because I feel like the live music experience, in one way, it's become the most important focal point for the pragmatism of how do you make a living as a musician, because as we all know, the recording side of the music business is kind of imploding. Yet at the same time, many young musicians don't really realize how important it is to get in front of people and make that connection, and they think that just to put their song on online somewhere is enough. And I don't think that's a replacement. Nothing will replace the live experience. That's what music was for thousands of years. Some guy banging on a drum in a cave to make the other one feel good. And we can never replace that. And so touring is my life. It's absolutely the most important thing I do. I'm convinced that if someone sees me live, then I've done the best I can do. Whereas the recording experience, making videos for YouTube, that's all wonderful. It's great that the music can travel through those different media, but that's never a replacement for the real thing.
Better say a long farewell.
That's Chilly Gonzalez talking to me in advance of his gig at Brighton Dome tonight, Monday, for listening to the live show. It starts at 8, and do go and catch that support from Sarah McCoy, who we heard earlier, and I'm going to be heading down tonight and talking about it on the show tomorrow.
And this is Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com, and you're listening to the Brighton Festival Show with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals.
And we are going to squeeze our money's worth out of Gonzalez on today's programme. And this is one of the tracks he won a Grammy for, his work with Daft Punk, Gonzalez and Daft Punk, and the track is Within. Gonzalez and Daft Punk and Within, and Gonzalez, as we've been saying, is appearing tonight, Monday, for listening to the live show, 8 o'clock at Brighton Dome. Support from Sarah McCoy. Do not miss Sarah McCoy. I think that evening is going to be a treat. You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. This is the Brighton Festival special show with Melita Dennett and this person over here, Rebecca Sandals.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Nice to see you.
Lovely.
Shall I keep going?
Yes, please.
Okay. One of the venues hosting Brighton Festival events is the Attenborough Centre for the Creative Arts, ACCA for short. And there are three festival events on there, Seances this Thursday and Friday. Superho runs from Sunday 19th to Tuesday 21st. And Berlin's True Copy is on from Thursday 23rd through to Sunday 26th of May. You don't need to have written all that down. We're going to go through that because we're being joined by ACCA's Creative Director, Laura McDermott. Hello, Laura.
Hello, good evening.
Hello. Now, let's start with that question, which you must get annoyed that you're still getting asked it. ACCA, where is it? Didn't that used to be called something else?
ACCA, or Attenborough Centre for the Creative Arts, as you beautifully introduced us, is the old Gardner Arts Centre. So it's just outside Brighton on the University of Sussex campus. It's a beautiful, round, red brick building designed by Basil Spence that's nestled in the South Downs on the University campus just by Stanmer Park.
Now, I didn't know the Gardner building. I've only been in the guises.
I did.
Yeah,
no,
sure.
Melita can tell you some tales.
Well, maybe not on air, Melita's tales. Goodness knows. But is it different?
What's interesting is the building itself is a listed building, Grade 2 star listed. So from the outside, I have actually heard people say, what did they spend all that money on? It looks exactly the same. Well, we weren't allowed to change the fabric of the building because it's listed. But in fact, all the renovations kind of went inside, improving the technical facilities, the acoustic of the auditorium, making the building completely accessible. And so those are the things that took a long time and also all had to be signed off by Historic England as we went along. So we've been open since 2016. May 2016, we reopened alongside the 50th anniversary of Brighton Festival, which was a really special time because...
Yeah, there's no excuse for not having been there since the reopening then, because it's a long time
now. It's true, but it's not the sort of venue you trip over because it's not in the centre of town. So you do have to make kind of a trip there. But actually, now we've been open for 3 years, lots of different kind of Brighton art tribes have found their way there. We work regularly with lots of festivals, Brighton Festival, of course, that we're here to talk about, but also Brighton Digital Festival, Cine City. We've got a fantastic music programme, a film programme. We do large-scale installations. We work with people like the Marlborough Theatre and South East Dance. And we host a lot of stuff that's created by students and staff at the University of Sussex as well. So I think by now a lot of people have found us for at least one reason or another. And what I'm keen to let people understand is that other things go on there too. So if you've seen a fantastic film on our beautiful screen, maybe come back and see a gig next time.
Yeah, as a fan of the old school Gardner Arts Centre, because I was a regular up there, and it was closed for about 10 years when the University of Sussex took it back in. And then when it opened up again, it was such a joy and a delight. And I think the main fear that people had was like, don't change it, we love it so much. And it's actually changed for the better, and I think it's a phenomenal festival venue and arts venue now. So I think if people haven't been there, definitely do go up there and check out the shows that are coming up for the Brighton Festival.
That's really nice to hear. In fact, this week we have been spending some time in the archives because in autumn it will be 50 years since the Gardner Arts Centre first opened, which was November 1969.
There's a Melita walking in the front door in that photo of the queue of people going in.
I haven't yet found that picture, but I'm going to read
it out.
Yeah, I'd
be fairly young then, it would have to be said. Thank you.
Watch this space for more wonderful recollections from Gardner Arts Centre. We'll certainly be coming to talk to you, Melita Dennett.
Oh, amazing. But for now... Brighton Festival,
yes.
And three shows coming up. Let's start with the first one, Seances.
Seances, yeah. We're really, really excited to be hosting the artist Jamil Oluwole Kosoko. He's a US-based artist. He lives in New York at the moment, but he was born and brought up in Detroit. This piece, Seances, is part of a trilogy of works that Jamil has been making about race and ethnicity in America and how that manifests. He actually came to the city back in 2017. We hosted his performance, Hashtag Negrophobia, which was part of Sick Festival, if people remember the wonderful Sick Festival back in 2017. So it's really amazing to bring Jamil back for the second instalment in this series. And it's a much more meditative piece, Seances.
Is he contemplating death and bereavement? Is that...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So hashtag Negrophobia dealt very directly with his brother, his younger brother, who was murdered. And that piece was looking at police brutality, violence, and very much in a contemporary setting. Seances takes a slightly different angle because through that time, Jamil lost his brother, but he's also lost other family members, the last of which was his father, who died actually in the process of him making the piece. So that energy is kind of channeled into the work. It's literally called seances. And Jamil is kind of communing with the dead in interesting ways. He's sort of channeling these spirits of his own ancestral ghosts, but then sort of opening that out into a wider conversation about his whole ancestry, black heritage really, and kind of pulling in different voices of civil rights activists and poets and so on. So it's an amazing piece, and Jamil really is a spectacular performer. He's a kind of shape-shifting figure that goes through these different personas on stage. There's costume changes. He comes out amongst the audience kind of singing and flirting with people, giving out little
Hershey
kisses.
You're doing the movements there. There's a lot of sort of like...
having a memory of seeing this. I saw this performance in Zurich when it was touring Europe last year, and...
You're shimmying away there.
You'll see if you come and see the performance.
And he does some mentoring as well, doesn't he?
Jamil does a lot of mentoring and teaching. He's one of those kind of polymath figures. He's a poet, he's an activist, he's a choreographer, he teaches and mentors a lot. And what's really exciting for us here in Brighton is that tomorrow Jamil's going to be running a workshop, which is at the Marlborough Theatre, who I mentioned before. Fantastic organisation that we love collaborating with at ACCA. And tomorrow's workshop is called Transgressive Body. And Jamil will be working with artists, with queer people of colour, and looking at how the body can manifest and challenge and transgress across boundaries. So he's asking people to come along and bring some clothing and some costumes to explore their identity. And
so that's Tuesday at 10:30 in the morning, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, at the Marlborough Theatre. I think there are actually a few places left if anyone is absolutely grabbed by that notion. You could book online and turn up tomorrow, but you need to bring some clothing with you.
There's some details on the brightonfestival.org website on that one, so take a look if you're thinking that sounds interesting. So what else? What else is after séances?
So very hot on the heels of séances, which performs until Friday night, so that's 16th and 17th, with a BSL interpreted production on Friday the 17th. We've got an amazing production that's coming down from the Royal Court Theatre, which is co-produced with Talawa, who are Britain's kind of leading black theatre company. They've been making work for about 30 years. And this piece is called Super Ho by an artist called Nicole Leckie. And it's a story of a woman who is, she's sort of trying to find her way in the world, and she's kind of, at one point she's the most popular girl in her school, but then she has a few rucks and just her life ends up going on a bit of a different path. So she's sort of in her bedroom, she's writing songs, she's dreaming of her future, but at the same time she's trying to make ends meet, and she ends up taking all these different twists and turns and trying to find work via the internet. So it's a bit of a study on youth, social media, the ethics of people trying to make their way in the world.
And wasn't it a bit of a wow at in London?
Big city. Absolutely, like 5-star reviews, I think. Like, so it's been an amazing piece, and I know that Andrew Comben, director of the festival, saw it and realised it was absolutely...
I want this in Brighton.
You know, and also it's that thing with Brighton Festival that because each year there's a guest artistic director, sometimes there's a piece of work that emerges that really seems to chime with the themes and the vision of that guest director, and I think that was absolutely the case with Superho. So I think it was quite a late entry into the programme, and we're thrilled to be able to host it.
Great, the timing worked.
Absolutely. Yeah. Stars aligned.
And old festival favourites, Berlin, who happen to be Dutch. They're Belgian. I'll rewind that. Berlin, who just happen to be Belgian. Been to the festival several times before, always do really groundbreaking work, which... It's often confusing. Sometimes it's slightly disorientating in terms of the narrative. You don't quite know where you're going. Lots of use of technology and visual jiggery pokery. They are back with a show called True Copy, which is about an art forger.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated by this piece. And yeah, as you mentioned, Berlin have been to the city loads of time before. I know they've got a big fan base here. I've got great memories of seeing their piece, again, in that Laurie Anderson 50th anniversary year, the piece Svisdal, that was about an old couple who were living on in the kind of the wake of a nuclear
Chernobyl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they were kind of continuing to make their lives and grow vegetables. And it was a beautiful piece, playful film and diorama. So this True Copy is... a brand new piece. It has been seen on the continent, but this is going to be the UK premiere. And from people I know that live and work in Belgium, there's a lot of good energy coming off this piece. I actually heard someone say on Facebook, this piece of work is so good, it makes every bad night at the theatre you've ever had in your life worthwhile, which I think is kind of like bold praise. So, yeah, what I know about True Copy, I haven't seen it live yet, is that it focuses on this infamous art forger called Geert Jan Jansen. And he ran rings around the art world, basically. He forged Picassos, Matisse, like all sorts of legendary painters, so convincingly that apparently Picasso unknowingly issued a certificate of authenticity for one of the paintings
wow.
that Geert produced in Picasso's style. And people still think that some of the paintings that he produced might be hanging in museums, you know, unbeknownst to everyone.
If you love it, I don't get the sort of obsession with, well, if you think it is, and you love the piece of art, does it matter who painted it?
Well, I think this is, as far as I understand it, this is the crux of the piece. So
oh,
they're really
right.
using that to get into that idea of what is truth, what is fiction, what is valuable, what's skillful, who is an artist, you know, and what do we value and revere? So I think it's going to be a very, very clever, kind of playful piece that really makes you think. And on the opening night, Thursday 23rd, there's going to be an in conversation after the performance with Hirt himself, the forger, who's on stage.
Are you sure it's going to be Hirt? Are you sure?
That is a very good question.
Now, is it my memory of seeing one of their shows is there were subtitles or overtitles or something, because it's in Belgian. Now,
yes.
Is this also in...
Yes, I believe right. the subtitles in
Flemish,
this as well.
Thank you for helping me with that one.
Surtitles as well. But I think, you know, just like watching an international film, it's one of those things that you just tune into at the beginning. It's a bit strange.
Exactly.
Sort of looking at the action and trying to kind of take the words in as well. And eventually you just kind of relax
yeah.
into it and let it flow
no,
over
I'm
you,
not but. Pointing it out as a kind of, well, don't go because it's like not actually in English. So you might not enjoy it because it's not in English. I'm just pointing it out because then people go, oh, yeah, no, I know what to expect as I walk in, because otherwise, particularly, some people may find that they just can't deal with seeing stuff like that when there's subtitles and things. So, but yeah, they're so good, it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, someone came up to me and said as soon as they saw the festival programme, that was like literally the first thing they booked.
I've been learning Flemish ever since.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. Not quite as well as Laura is, though. How are tickets going?
Tickets are going pretty good, actually. I think they are... we've actually seen this across a lot of certainly the shows we've been hosting at the Attenborough Centre, quite last-minute booking mm-hmm. patterns, but I certainly don't hold that against anyone. There's such a lot of stuff to
sure.
choose from in the city, in Festival and Fringe. But all of the shows I mentioned, there are tickets available, I think, on all of the performances. But certainly Berlin is definitely selling fast, so don't sleep on that one too long if you'd like to come along. But tickets are available. Bookable at attenboroughcentre.com or of course via the Brighton Festival website, brightonfestival.org.
Great.
Marvelous.
So Laura McDermott from the Attenborough Centre, thanks so much for joining us on Radio Reverb. What we've got you, what are the plans for Attenborough Centre over the summer? You usually go a bit quiet in the summer, don't you? So are you gearing up for the autumn season?
We do get a little bit quiet over the summer, and yeah, we'll be doing a bit more digging in the archive. As I mentioned, we're finding some serious treasure in there, and there's fantastic archives of the history of the Gardiner Arts Centre that are kept at the Keep, the National Archives,
yeah.
which is part of the University of Sussex as well. But also, quite exciting, this is more behind the scenes exciting, but we're getting a new floor put in.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. I'm shimmying again. I'm shimmying at the idea of the new floor.
Tell us about the floor.
What's exciting about the new floor is it's going to make it much easier for us to reconfigure the space. So at the moment, it's a fully flexible auditorium, and if you've been to see it in standing formation, it's 500 capacity for a gig, but then the seats go back in and it's kind of end on performance style. But it's going to mean that we can flip that venue round much more quickly. So the upside of that is it's quite likely we're going to have more gigs in the space. On an Emily
no,
a
I'm
big
shimmying.
Music fan because
I'm
I
shimmying.
Always see her at festivals. So
like
always
a seat.
Hard at work.
I like to sit down. I
on.
Like to sit down, me. So
it's there are some seats on the back balcony.
There
Everything's
go,
gonna be made possible with this new configuration. So yeah, we'll be busy with some of that behind the scenes stuff, but we'll come back to you in the next few months when we know our full plans for the autumn.
Please do. So that is seances Thursday and Friday at the Attenborough Centre this week, Superhost Sunday the 19th to Tuesday 21st, and True Copy Thursday following week, Thursday the 23rd through to Sunday the 26th, attenboroughcentre.com and brightonfestival.org. Lauren McDermott, thank you for joining us, and good luck.
Thank you very much. See you
cheers,
soon.
Cheers, cheers. You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. And now a show that sold out in Edinburgh last year. Tickets went like hot potatoes after the five-star reviews started rolling in for My Left Right Foot, the musical. One reviewer described the show as riotously funny, often potty-mouthed takedown of actorly pretensions and daft assumptions that able-bodied folk make about those with disabilities. Well, My Left Right Foot, the musical, is a collaboration between the Birds of Paradise Company and the National Theatre of Scotland, who have been to the Brighton Festival several times before, and they are always excellent. Opens at the Theatre Royal on Tuesday evening and runs through to Saturday. Mary Taylor is the show's producer.
The characters, they're quite a ragbag of an Amdram company, and what they're trying to do, they've got the heart set on winning a one-act play festival, and they work out that they can maybe achieve this by embracing the inclusion agenda. They don't really know what this means, but they do know it might mean, you know, extra points. So they're one part cynical and one part have their hearts in the right places.
Right, what's this new inclusive show going to be about then?
My Left Foot. Have you heard of it?
Heard of it?
Are you two okay with this? You're just going to let it happen?
Oh, I wish it could be me.
We need to unlock closed minds, tell a story that we've never told. We all just need to find our inner cripple.
None of this is realistic.
Of course folk would find it, you know, offensive.
Can't waste another second of my life on you lot.
No, it wouldn't be a bad thing. It wouldn't be a bad thing.
I love a musical. And that is the muse from the musical My Left Right Foot, which opens tomorrow, Tuesday evening at the Theatre Royal. And Melissa, I believe you're going to be speaking to members of the cast or someone tomorrow for tomorrow's show?
I believe I am. Amongst our busy schedule, I'm going to be popping down there and catching members of My Left Right Foot. My Right Left Foot. Right Left Foot? Left Right
left,
Foot.
Right Left Right. Left Right.
And we are going to go and see it tomorrow evening. So we'll be back with you to
Looking forward to it.
Let you know how that one went on for you. Mark Johnson from Slipstream Worldwide Beats went to see the Acca Trio or Saints Church this weekend. Mark, welcome back to
how
Radio Reverb. Yeah,
okay.
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. How was it for you?
It was completely full up.
Right.
Lots of people queuing outside. Yeah. And it's a magnificent church, but it didn't quite grab me.
Okay. The music's very mellow.
The music is very mellow, and it wasn't particularly very loud.
So you mean the acoustics and just generally the environment?
Yeah. I mean, the three musicians are absolutely top of their game, musicians. But I don't know, it just wasn't very loud. And it was very difficult to hear what they were saying between tracks.
Okay.
But the second half, once it got going, it was good. And I think the audience did, in general, enjoy it, but I was quite near the back.
Were you the grumpy man at the back then?
I did enjoy some of it, and I really like those musicians, all three of them.
Yeah.
And so coming together, I think it's just the beginnings of a good project, and it needs a bit more oomph, really.
Okay, because...
But it was a nice evening out, but it just didn't quite...
Did you get that kind of feeling from other audience members, that it was a bit... They were like a little bit more volume...
Yeah, I was with someone from Reverb, actually, and he said the same. He felt that the PA system could have perhaps been a little bit, I don't know, bigger or louder or what have you. It would have given us a bit more of a chance to hear the stories as well.
Okay, you can't win them all. You can't win them all.
I'm not saying it was terrible. I'm just saying, really, that it didn't quite...
Well, because you bigged it up, I have to say. You've been bigging it up,
Yeah, and on record, sounds beautiful... But live, it didn't quite... They played that sort of lead track from their album straight away, which I think they should have held off and played that in the second half.
OK, so I think you need to contact them and tell them to balance their set out a bit better. I do that when I go and see bands and I think their set's out of kilter. I do tell them, you need to play that song there.
Yeah, the venue, All Saints Church, it's, you know, it's a beautiful venue.
Fantastic venue, yeah.
But it was so big, it was almost like it was too big for the...
So it was getting a bit lost because it's got this enormous acoustic in
Absolutely
there. So maybe it just wasn't. Maybe do you think it would have worked better in a more intimate, a smaller
maybe
venue?
Maybe if it had to be in a church, maybe St George's, you know.
Yeah.
Or maybe at Acca when they've got the new floor in.
And they've got their new floor in.
And they're doing more gigs.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Okay. You can't win them all. You can't win them all. So we will tell it like it is here on Radio River.
Yeah. I mean. They're brilliant musicians and the music's fantastic, but it just didn't quite strike. But
okay.
I tell you, the audience must have enjoyed it because there was a massive queue for CDs at the end.
There you go.
Massive queue.
It's not them, it's you.
It's me.
Grumpy man at the back. That's what I'm saying.
Anything you're looking forward to, Grumpy Mark? You were Mark Five Star Johnson last week. You're now Mark Grumpy Guts Johnson.
Yeah, Ari Woe are playing next week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be speaking to them, hopefully, tomorrow or the day after.
Great. Well, we'll have that one.
So, yeah. And it's good. It's all good. It's all good.
Okay. But there is one that we did like. Thank you very much, Mark. There was one that we really did like, which we went to see, Rebecca and I went to see, which was Flight. And we are reliably informed that tickets for the original production Flight at the King Alfred Leisure Centre sold out for the weekend showings. It seems our advice not to leave it until the last moment to catch this piece and risk missing out is proving prophetic.
So you have until Thursday the 23rd of May to get along and see this story of two child migrants as they journey from Afghanistan towards their dream destination of England. The story is told through the medium of hundreds of models as up to 25 people at a time sit in individual booths. I met artistic director Jamie Harrison to tell me more about the work and the models.
The smallest ones in the show are 11 millimetres high, so they were an absolute nightmare to paint, I'll be honest. And then the largest are maybe, there's a few that are actually 15 centimetres. So we play with scale a lot, we play with perspective, we play with, you know, creative visuals and... we're really proud. It does, you know, the aesthetic. We're seeing the world through the eyes of these boys, so we wanted to go into that real sort of graphic aesthetic because one of the boys is really into graphic novels, and we find that out at the beginning.
This all fits in very well with the theme of the festival being storytelling.
Yes.
You were saying how people come in expecting to just be kind of wowed by the different techniques being used. It ends up being about the storytelling. And
yes.
That's what the festival is about this year, much storytelling.
That's the key thing. And I think, you know, this is a novel and an interesting way to approach storytelling. As far as I'm aware, I don't think anyone has ever created anything like this before. We did a lot of research beforehand. We call it, it sounds very Victorian, we call it a narrative dioramascope because it's...
How many seats are there?
There are 25.
It's 25 big, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry, like banging into you with my excitement as I wander around. All with sort of headphones on the back. It does make me think of the UN translator when I sort of see those seats at the back.
I hope it's not as dry as that. But, you know, it was a big risk. As a theatre company, it was scary. We had this idea, we planned it and designed it and worked with the team and, you know, went through umpteen different designs and scenarios for how it would work. But the truth is, genuinely, because nobody had ever done it before, we didn't know if it was going to work as a storytelling technique until the first time we could run it. And as the artistic directors of the company, Candice and I were quite literally terrified.
I wonder what phrase you were going to use there.
Yeah.
Suitable for radio.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Right.
No swearing.
It seems to be working, though.
Yeah, it's we're really, genuinely really proud of it. And I don't know, it's as well as being an exciting piece, I think it's an important piece of work as well, because we're addressing, you know, issues in modern life that we as a society need to talk about. You know, there are all kinds of political things happening in our world, and this brings the audience very close and very personal with two children who are dealing with a very, very difficult situation. And when they arrive in the UK, we leave the interpretation of what happens open, and there is hope, but there are also questions.
Jamie Harrison there from Vox Motors talking about their piece Flight, which is at the King Alfred Leisure Centre. You can check out details on the timed entry slots for that piece at brightonfestival.org, and note that advance booking is required. And if you want to go along, take a look, get your tickets booked, because it is filling up.
Be quick. You've been listening to the Brighton Festival special show with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM and online Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 during the festival, repeated 10 p.m. the same day and 9 a.m. the next day. Thank you to today's guests, Laura McDermott, Chilly Gonzalez, reporters Josh Sharples and Mark Johnson. I'm Melita Dennett. Thank you for listening.
I'm Rebecca Sandals, and we'll be back at the same time tomorrow.
Gonna play you out with Naina Cherry. She's appearing at Brighton Dome at the end of the festival, pretty much wrapping it all up. It was hard to find a track that wasn't potty mouthed from her new album, but I managed to find one. This is Naina Cherry and Kong from me, Melita, and Rebecca. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.